Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Good morning, true crimers, and welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thanks so much for being here. I have to tell you the reason that I'm running a little bit behind is I was doing my scrub of kind of what is going on in Nancy Guthrie's case, and I thought it was really important that I talk about what is going on with what people are saying about Nancy Guthrie's interview. Of course, she gave the most heart-wrenching interview. For those of you who haven't watched it, I actually post a segment of it right up here on the channel. And then I also posted it on Twitter, the full sections, and there's more that's going to come out today. But in those sections, and I know everybody's featuring it, talking about it, did a segment on News Nation and on Inside Edition regarding the statements that were made and sort of the epiphanies. Did a show yesterday at noon because I normally don't come on at noon, but I felt it was just that important. So if by chance you didn't catch that second segment, I hope you check it out because, you know, in those venues, I can go, in other words, when I'm on my show, which is the whole reason I have the show, I can go into a lot more detail regarding what was said. What does that mean from an investigative lens? Again, when it comes to these investigations, hopefully what I'm bringing to the table is 28 years of being a federal agent and investigating for 25 years of those violent crimes, gangs, cartels, you know, that's my background. So hopefully, you know, I can bring that to you. What I want to talk about today, and I'm going to switch a little bit. I had already done somewhat of a segment on the different South American, you know, theft rings and so on and so forth. And I'm going to rehash that a little bit just to talk about that and some of the similarities I pointed out in the past, particularly with the Chileans. But I thought it was really important today to stay on the statements because, in other words, the interview Savannah Guthrie did, because I am shocked, really, at some of the comments, some of the statements being made by my fellow pundits. I'm just really shocked. And I always say this, and I'm never going to bring up names or anything. I am very adamant about publicly on my channel or in my Twitter space, I really, really keep it very focused on facts and off of drama. So I'm not going to mention names or call anybody out or anything like that. I don't really believe in that at all. But I am going to call out and talk about some of the statements. And I'm also going to say, you know, and I know this audience, I love this audience because you do your homework. You all look into things, but, you know, it's really important and interesting to do a little bit of a dive into people's backgrounds that are sometimes commentating. It's just interesting, right? I mean, there are people, believe it or not, commenting with 6 months of law enforcement experience. Some people that have longer, but then left, you know, What I always usually look at, I want to see people with decades of law enforcement experience commenting on these cases. I mean, that's what I look for. And I have a lot of respect for those that come on that have that experience. I also look for people who are retired. And I only say that, and it's very important to me, although usually or oftentimes people say ex-FBI, that's like hearing ex-Marine, right? We're never exes. We're just retired. In my case, retired. Former isn't so bad. But even former indicates that you maybe did the job for a little while and then you left the job. And, you know, when you become an FBI agent, it is such a hard hill to climb to get on board. So most men, I think at one point they gave us these statistics. It was something like 95 or 98. It was super high, percent. Might've been 95. It literally might've been up to 98, stay with the FBI as a male. So males that start with the Bureau, if they get on, they don't leave. Right? You want to get your pension, which lasts for life. You want the benefits that last for life. You don't normally leave, both from an economic standpoint, but mostly forget the economic standpoint. I say that from the male point of view, because they have a family to look out for. Typically females don't necessarily, the spouses are not relying on the female FBI's income. Let's face it. It's just not that much money. This is my point I just want to make. Just take a look. It's very unusual for an FBI male to not retire with the FBI. It does happen. I mean, some people decide to go into other, pursuits. Some people, I think, believe that it's just maybe not for them. I know, especially after 9/11, and I'll tell you, this was really interesting. So I'm going to tangent off a little bit and just talk a little bit about FBI stuff. After 9/11, there were a lot of people that had these epiphanies that they wanted to be in law enforcement. They wanted to be FBI agents. They wanted to help put terrorists behind bars. It was insane what happened. Basically, you had people that never had any interest in law enforcement. You had attorneys, you had doctors. I was trying to think other people who came to my squad, politicians, people that had shining careers that had that wake up call. Like, I want to be service oriented. I want to give back. And I will tell you, if you look at those individuals, so many, such a disparaging number, never made it. They lasted 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, because A, they realized, oh my gosh, I'm making $60,000 a year, as opposed to $200,000 a year, whatever it is, as an attorney. And they realized, I am working ridiculous hours. I'm coming on board like I'm a college student, basically not a college student, but the age to get in the Bureau, I believe, is still the highest age, I believe, right now is 36. I think they've upped that. It used to be 30, and it was 33, and I think it might be 36. I need to go look. But the youngest age you could get in was 24. Most of these people coming in were in their 30s, 33, 34, 35. I think the average age in my class was 33. And so you have these people with these, great careers, and all of a sudden they come in the Bureau and they're like, listen, you need to make sure you stock the refrigerator, newbie. You need to know you're working the night shift on the wire through Christmas, newbie. You're getting, just like in any job, in any profession, when you are brand new coming on board, you're the one that's going to get the tougher shifts, the tougher assignments. You're not going to get much responsibility in your first couple of years. depending on a lot of circumstances, depending on your relationship with your supervisor and how you've performed early and your background to some degree. In other words, if you come into the Bureau and you're already former law enforcement, you're going to get a lot more opportunity. You're not going to be as, you know, confined as somebody who has no law enforcement experience that comes into the Bureau. But that's what who was coming into the Bureau. So a lot of those people came and left super quick. So just something to keep in mind. You know, some of my favorite people are, and that's why I have them on my show. They're not even well known. They don't even have social media, but like the Dale Lundbergs of the world that did the job for 30 years, homicide for 10, robbery, kidnappings for 10. And then on the streets with the bad guys for another 10, I think it's 30 something years. Cheryl McCollum, I believe she's 40 years. Worked homicides, crime scene. You'll see the people that I have on this channel, they have done the job. Even in the lawyers that you see me have on, Philip Dubay, 30 years, something like that. He was a prosecutor initially, and then I think he spent 20 years in the Los Angeles office of the public defender. I mean, he saw it all. And by the way, he has a very interesting view on this case. I don't know if you heard it. We did a live with kind of all these people I'm sort of talking about. I had Turkey on because I love him. He doesn't have a lot of law enforcement experience, but I love his questioning. So I asked him to come on to be a moderator. And I always just love having him on. He's very relatable. I think he asks so many common sense questions. He does his homework. I just think a lot of him too. Schiff and I, listen, we go back and forth on Twitter like you wouldn't believe. But I've had him on the show several times. A lot of people, he's one of these people I find that is very polarizing. Like everybody loves Philip Dubay. Very few people don't like having him on. But when I have Schiff on, oh my gosh, I get 50% of the people that say he's the best. He's so funny. He's so articulate. We love him. We love Schiff. Have Schiff back. And then the other half are like, don't have him on. He's so liberal. He's so this. He's so that. I love Schiff personally. I'm one of these extremely loyal people. The friendships and the relationships I made, I keep forever. You know, like many of you, but certainly in the professional light. That's why often I have all these FBI agents that I worked with 20 years ago that you'll see come on the show because those relationships are so important and we went through a lot together. And so I'm always wanting those guys on. So all that is to say that I am going to go over some of the things people are saying in the media about Savannah Guthrie's statement, because I think it's important to really, they're dissecting what she said, and I'm going to dissect what they're saying, because I have to say, it's not making a lot of sense to me, everyone. It's just not making a lot of sense what people are saying. But I want to hear your feedback. All right, here we go. Again, I'm not naming names. I'm not in the job. I'm not in the business of naming names. And this is all related again to, and sorry, I'm sorry about this clicking. So I'm getting some really great feedback from you all as to how I can improve. And whenever you have something that you think I can improve upon, I am all ears, because I want to be a channel where when you go there, you know it's going to be professional. You know you're going to be able to see either videos or footage that helps bring a point home, that you're going to see. A lot of times I'll pull words straight from articles and screenshot it and, you know, typewritten so you guys can read it up here, because I just feel it's very important to sort of supplement what you say Plus, you know, when you're having a bad hair day like me, although I like my hair up in a bun, I like to bun it sometimes. I like to be nice and small and have these pictures because this is what it's all about. It's not about anything other than Nancy Guthrie, what happened to Nancy Guthrie. I'll still say bringing Nancy Guthrie home, not because 99.9% of me believes she isn't with us. That's what I believe. But there, you know, there's crazy miracles that happen in life. There just are. Although Savannah had a come to Jesus, if you will, where she was praying and it was answered that, you know, at least she believes very much so that her mom answered that her mom is with him. You know, that was the insight, if you will, that God came to her and that's what she heard. And for, again, I did a whole show on this yesterday. Well, not a whole show, but I did a little short piece, 5 minutes at the end of this noon segment, if you want to go back and watch. It's specifically breaking down the evidentiary points that came out in what Savannah said. Because let's face it, anybody can sort of talk about what she said, blah, 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 blah. But I think most people, at least on this channel, they're looking for, yeah, but from your lens, what stuck out to you and what do you think this might mean? And then we bounce it off of each other, right? I like to look at the comments and see what you all have to say, if you agree, if you expand on it. Same on Twitter. That's what I do. It's a very interactive, even though I work and everything, obviously, I'm always checking out what people say in my spare time. Most people know I'm a complete insomniac, and so I'm up all hours of the night checking things out. So I guess it helps relax me. I want to comment on one other thing before we move along to why you guys are really here, and that is to discuss specifically what people are saying about what Savannah had to say. And somebody actually suggested that I mention this. And again, they also suggested not to put the chat box up. I had always done that because I thought people like to look at the screen and then they could see the chat box. And I found out, A, it has lag time, which I didn't know because it's so small. There's no way my cheaters can read that. I don't look at it. I actually glance over at comments. And then, of course, whenever I see a color, I throw that up. So I'm not going to have that anymore because I've heard that it's a little distracting. People want to see the pictures that I display. So I'm changing that. And also, which I never knew, that when I click on something, you guys can actually hear that. Now, I want you to know that I did purchase a Sure, a Shure microphone. I did that 2 years ago or whenever I started this, about 2 years ago, something like that. Maybe not quite 2 years. Whenever I bought that Shure microphone and I used it and no one could hear me very well. And then I got a very, you know, spun up computer here that I use that has good optics, that has excellent voice. And it I found out, which I did not know, it picks up everything. Like every little time I set my glasses down or so I'm going to try to put those in my lap. I'm going to try not to touch any keys. I try to have all the pictures up I want to use, but sometimes then we fade into another discussion. And so it makes me want to bring something else up. And then I have to search my library as I'm chatting. But I'm going to try not to do that anymore because I know some people said that was distracting. My plan is to get a different kind of microphone, one that maybe will work really well with this particular computer, and to plug it in and have an external mic just so I have the best way I can of communicating without being distracting with any typing. So I just want everybody to know I pay attention to what you have to say. And it's important to me to have this channel be a place where you go to and you say, not only am I getting professional, factual information from people who have done the job, I also can trust the information because I know it's been backstopped. And then finally, it's a chat where you're important and you know how important you are. And the members know how important they are. I want that. you know, to come together just to be a true crime community here. So anyway, all right. I really digressed a lot, but I think sometimes you got to do that a little bit. And I also, this was the other thing they recommended, someone recommended that I just say really quickly. And that is, and I never really talk about this. I talked about a long time ago or maybe intermittently when I've been interviewed, Kendall Ray flew me out to Colorado. By the way, for those of you who are looking for that type of coverage, I call Kendall Ray one of the best storytellers. No, she was never in law enforcement. She's not a lawyer, but she doesn't treat her cases like that. She tells the story. She gives you all the facts. She has an amazing team. I mean, her setup is so unbelievable. Of course, if I had 3 million followers or 4 million, 5 million, wherever she's at, and well-deserved. I wish nothing but all my creator colleagues success. I want everybody to be successful. And I told her, she's so much younger than me, but I told her when I was out there, I said, you know what? I said, this sounds weird to say this, but you are such a mentor to me in this industry. And she really is. She has her stuff together. She has such a huge crew, first of all. I mean, warehouses and studios and, you know, trusted people. They're almost all just family and friends. She's kept it very tight-knit. Whenever I have sort of a social media or YouTube question, I either reach out or have reached out to her. And she's so responsive. She's so great. Because there's a lot you can learn from people who have not only done this, but who have done it successfully. And she's given me a lot of really, really good advice. But other than when I've been on her show or I was on The Spillover, I think Annie Elise one time when she had me on, she talked a little bit about my background. News Nation has talked a little bit about my background. I'm not going to talk much about it. I just want to say why I ever got involved in this. Two words, Gabby Petito. I know that sounds odd, but at the time I was retired. I was teaching self-defense, firearms, marksmanship. I was doing that a lot very involved in that in my business. It's called firearmsbeyondinternational.com, maybe mods. And by the way, I do not give enough shout outs to the mods here. We are all a team. And what the mods do on this channel is amazing. What the team behind the mods do is amazing. As we grow and as I have the opportunity to be able to, for some people behind the scenes, afford and be able to do all this, it's because of you all. And so I thank you so much, because if you weren't here, I wouldn't be here probably, or maybe I would. I'd still be just chatting into this computer, as my husband says, for hours and with nobody responding. But he doesn't know about chat, because chat is the response that, you know, that's why it does feel so interactive. But how I got involved in the true crime community. So basically, I'm pensioned, I'm out teaching, I'm working for Eagle. At that time, very early on, I was hired in, because at that time they did not do expert witness, they did security. Basically, security for high wealth individuals. And some of them I wish I could talk about, but I can't. But anyway, that's what they did. And that's what I was hired to do. And then, geez, now it's been 8 years ago, I guess, they developed an expert witness program. And so they asked me if I would do that. And I said, oh yeah, this is so much more up my alley, because my investigative experience, most of the guys, I don't think there's any other girls, but the guys that are handling security for all of these high dollar clients, they are all mostly hostage rescue team guys. You know, guys that I knew from back in the day. And of course, the founder of Eagle was the founder of the hostage rescue team. my boss. So nevertheless, these guys are so good at what they do and they're great at what they do. But there were several of us that had more of the investigative experience. Phil Hayden was one of my mentors. Obviously, I've had Greg on 3-4 times, if you count the time that his microphone wasn't working or we were having a glitch on our end. Greg McCrary started out. We were the three that started out. And now we've built up, I think there's 12 experts in all sorts of different areas, everything from cyber to child exploitation. I want to have her on soon. She's amazing. The case that I asked her to look into was the Sebastian Rogers case. And if she could come on and talk about that, talk about what she can glean from all the facts known in that case. And so I'm hoping that I get her on soon. And I've had another one of our profilers on. He actually was with SLED. And there's so few that are not former federal. And he's one of them because he's really good. He basically does premise liability. In other words, Kmart's responsible because somebody went into the business and clubbed somebody over the head. Should Kmart be responsible? What were the factors? What did they have in place to make sure things like that wouldn't happen? So Eagle that I work for, that's one of the main areas that they provide expertise in. It's premise viability. I do not do that. That is not my area of expertise. But everybody's probably really an expert in a lot of areas, we're dialed down to what our specific area is. So now fast forward to, or rewind back to, I got a call from a guy named Steve Gomez. Now, Steve and I graduated from Quantico together. This is when I'm talking about these long-term relationships. So we graduated in 1990. Oh my gosh, that's 26 years ago. Is that right? I think I did the math right. Oh my gosh, I think that's way more than 26 years ago now. Sorry. Is that 36 years ago? It doesn't matter. I'm terrible with math. 36 years ago, 1990. I get a call from him, and he was ABC's contributor in the area of counterterrorism. So he was invaluable to them because he was the assistant special agent in charge in Los Angeles, and I think actually was the special agent in charge, even higher, as high as you can get in the Bureau other than to be a director of the counterterrorism unit for Los Angeles. Well, you can imagine how big that is and what all that means. Anyway, he gives me a call. He's retired, or not retired. He left the Bureau. He left the Bureau and he became, well, first of all, he did that for 7 years, but then he still has this huge job of handling security for all of the casinos that are run by Native American people. It's a really big job. And anyway, in that, he is very confined to what he can and can't do. So he could do no media after he took that job. So he calls me and he says, Jen, have you heard of Gabby Petito? And I said, well, most people, I'm from Florida. I've heard of Gabby Petito. Yes. I know she's missing. This is like day one or day two of Gabby Petito going missing. And he said, listen, my former producer at ABC is with a new network called News Nation. And he really wants me to go out there, but I can't. I've got this new job and I'm recommending you to go out there. And I cracked up. I said, Steve, how long have you known me? I am behind the camera. I love to do the cases. I love to do the work. I don't love to be in front of the camera. That's not my jam. And he said, no, just do it. He said, you will really enjoy being able to investigate and bring your experience and knowledge to the reporters and to the audience. I think you'll love it. He said, I love doing it. It was so great because you're still kind of investigating and still in your realm. So the producer called me. I sent him my CV anyway, he said, yeah, we'd really like you to go out there. So of course, I, and if you guys have heard the story, I'm sorry, but I know many of you might be newer to the channel or just might not know this story. And so I go driving out there to Northport to Brian Laundrie's house to meet a reporter named Brian Enten, who's handling sort of the boots on the ground, watching Brian Enten's house because, or sorry, Brian Laundrie's house, because everybody is waiting for Brian Laundrie, you know, everybody's waiting to figure out what's going to happen. Where's Brian Laundrie? Where's Gabby Petito? You know, nobody knows at this time. This is in the very early, early stages of this. You know, the van's just come back. It's parked in front of Brian Laundrie's parents' house. So that's where he is. So I pull up. It was dark. It was so buggy outside. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm getting eaten alive by no-see-ums over here, because where I live, I don't have any no-see-ums. So, and when I was in the Virgin Islands, there was no-see-ums everywhere. But where I was currently living, there were no-see-ums. And this is about, again, 2 years ago, two and a half, well, probably 3 years ago now, Gabby Petito. It's probably 3 years. Anyway, I head out there and I remember I show up and there's this black, gigantic Suburban. And in this Suburban that is packed down with cameras and with, you know, the lighting and all you the things you need, Brian Enten comes out. And Brian Enten, by the way, first of all, he's in extremely good shape. Like, he works out religiously, so he's in good shape, but he's smaller than you might think. And his cameraman Luis, who I just love, he comes out, or no, I think he stayed in the car. Anyway, they go, you can get in here, you can get in the back seat. And so I was put in the back passenger side seat. I'm sitting in there, I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm just like, hi, you know. And Brian immediately said, oh my gosh, I had expected to have my friend here from Miami, who I know, who I work with as my expert, who I think, I need to check with Dave and with Brian about this, but I think it might've been Dave Ehrenberg that he was referring to, but I'm not sure. But whoever it was couldn't come. I actually think he said FBI, so I guess it wasn't Dave. I don't know who it was. And I remember thinking, oh, this is such a mistake. They don't want me here. I don't really know what I'm doing. I haven't been in front of a camera. I remember I was so nervous. And, you know, I didn't have my makeup. You know, I'm not a makeup person. Now somebody taught me how to do it and I still mess it up all the time. My husband's like, your cheeks are too pink. Your lips are too red. You know, I'm not very good at makeup. News Nation for a long time did all my makeup for probably a year and a half or more, because we did everything in studio. And then even when I first started doing Zoom, I could call the makeup people and they could make me up. But it's just too impossible because you can't, there's so little notice, and then you have to get them and, you know, to do your hair and everything. So if you look back for probably my first year and a half on News Nation, I'm going to look way better because they did my hair and did my face and made me look presentable. Now you just got me doing this and I am absolutely no expert on makeup or hair. In fact, I'm the opposite. But nevertheless, so I'm sitting there. I just have to tell, this is so fun. And so anyway, I didn't, nothing against Brian, because I know Brian had planned on somebody else and here I am. And I mean, the producers told him and everything. I think he was just hoping that this other person would end up showing up. So anyway, it's time to go on. And they said, just come out here. You know, we're going to ask you some questions. And they had this big tent set up right literally on the curtilage of Brian Laundrie's parents' house. And so there's this big tent and bright lights everywhere. I mean, Luis can make anyone look amazing. Like, he's amazing. And Luis behind the camera, and he's really jolly and sweet. We became definite friends at CrimeCon. But that's, you know, with all of us hanging out, you develop these friendships. Anyway, so now Brian is asking me questions, and I just remember, and I need to find that first footage, because it's probably not as long as it felt to me, but I just looked into that camera lens like this. You know, so Brian says, what do you think is whatever? And then I'm like, it seemed like I looked and was stuck for 2 to 3 seconds. It was probably a second. And anyway, Brian, like, over here, look over here. And then he just starts engaging me, and he is so engaging. You know, he's so easy to talk to. And the next thing I know, it was like Brian Enten and I were just having a conversation, you know, and it made it very easy to be able to analyze and give opinions to somebody who then, of course, you know, became great friends. The rest is history. He moved on and up to huge things in the podcasting world and you know, in his role, obviously, at News Nation. So anyway, but that's how it all started. And then from there, and I blame Brian Enten for, sorry, blame Gabby, not blame, I'm indebted to Gabby Petito, because at the time, literally playing tennis, working a lot, doing a lot with kids, but I felt like I was missing something in terms of really being able to give back in some way. And so when this opportunity happened, it just really opened my eyes to the missing, to the horrible things that obviously I knew about the horrible things that were happening, but the horrible things that were happening that social media was able to touch and spread and help with. I mean, that case is the poster child for a case where information was disseminated over social media, and that van became known, and the Bethunes, a family that was just traveling around, sees that and breaks the case. They broke the case. And that's why I always say it's so important for Portuguese face, for this to be in Spanish. All of this needs to happen to break the case, because I truly think it's going to be the public that breaks this. Anyway.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.
So a few changes with the channel, a few background on how I even got into this. It's got so funny. It was something I never sought, but I'm very happy. So happy I'm here. And I can guarantee you, without the Gabby Petito case, I would be playing tennis every day and doing my expert witness work. That's what I would be doing. I wouldn't be doing any of this. So I'm grateful to be here. All right. Long stories. All right. But let's break into what you really are here for. And that is the breakdown of what pundits are saying. Whew. All right. Number one, at the beginning, when Nancy is being interviewed, Hoda asks her, how did you hear about all of this? How did you hear about this? Okay. And what Nancy sort of, I'm sorry, not Nancy, Savannah sort of gives the rundown. And she says, well, she goes into a lot of detail, which I did find interesting, but she's a professional communicator. I think we have to remember, when you talk about this interview, this isn't just your average person that's lost somebody. No, this is Savannah Guthrie. She is an attorney, very well educated. She is in your living rooms every day if you turn on NBC morning show. Look, I'm just going to be transparent here. I don't watch any morning shows because I'm here doing this morning show. So I am not a television person. Other than sports, I'm addicted to sports. I love my sports. But other than that, I'm not a television watcher. People say Yellowstone and all these other. I was even in the Yellowstone house when I was up teaching firearms up there. I was literally on the property where all that was shot and in the house that's that house. I posted all this on Twitter when I came back because I didn't even know that. Everybody was telling me, oh, you're in the Yellowstone house. So I'm not a television watcher, but there are millions and millions and millions of people that watch Savannah Guthrie, that know her intimately, because those morning shows, you become an intimate know. In fact, so much so that you meet their families, like what happened in this case, not just hers. All of them have their families on because they want the audience to know them. They want that familiarity. This is not like watching the evening shows where it's all about news. It's all about what they have to say in regard to news. There's nothing fluff, nothing soft. You will not see. I have this great clip where she's going through Hoda's bag that she leaves behind on set, and she's just cracking up. She's like, there's this expired this and this old this, and how could she have this? And it was so funny. I've got that clip to just play. I've been doing on YouTube, by the way, every night starting at 5. So there's one around 5, one around 9, and one around 11. I don't know if any of you look for those or stay tuned for those, but they're basically, some of them are tips, to be frank, some of them are from my other media, because I really don't talk a lot about a lot of the media I do or the podcasts I'm on, and I don't play it and I don't send it out. And so nobody really knows. A lot of News Nation, a lot of people don't get News Nation. So some of those will be little snippets from there. I kind of leave that a little bit to the production team. And although, you know, now I'm really looking closely at everything before it goes up, just to make sure everything is perfect as best I can. Nevertheless, if you're looking for things like this, please, please stay tuned. They're literally, some of them are 40 seconds long. I don't think there's anything longer than maybe 7 to 9 minutes, but they're usually far less. They're usually a minute to 2 minutes. But they're hopefully you get notified about those. But I love those because I'm trying to keep Savannah, Nancy, this story in the news, because she cannot get caught. She cannot be found, and the perpetrator is not going to get found if it dies out of the news. Think of, as a perfect example, Sebastian Rogers. There was a time when Sebastian Rogers was almost like this case, maybe not quite. You know, Gabby Petito, Idaho 4, Lacey Peterson, JonBenet, this case. But I tell you, for a missing child case, Sebastian Rogers was the biggest case. And it was crazy because it was a case I followed from the very beginning, like this one. I reported on this day one. Sebastian Rogers reported on that right after it happened. And that case really was huge. And then it seemed no matter how we all tried to keep it in the news, it's just not. I mean, that anniversary came and went, that's a terrible word, because I think of anniversaries as being a good thing. But the 26th of February came and sort of went. And there's some things brewing on that case. I'm very close with that case and sort of what's going on. There's something pretty big brewing. I can't talk about it, but I will talk about it. I think they're going to give me the first go ahead to do a show on it and to have some of the people involved on the show. So I have not forgotten about Sebastian Rogers, but I use him to show how's he ever going to be found? No one has any idea about him. I mean, if you go into your other things that you do besides true crime and your families and stuff, whatever that is, even if you're at your hairdresser, whatever, at your doctor, mention Sebastian Rogers. I guarantee you 99% of people have no idea who you're talking about because he is so out of the news. Mention Nancy Guthrie and you might have 10% know, they might at least say, is that the grandmother that went missing? They might kind of know like that. So it's just so critical to keep everything. So anyway, these snippets you see at night, and I've been doing it for probably several weeks, probably 4 or 5 weeks. Every night, 5, 9, and 11. Take a look at those because they just are very interesting. Some of them are funny. A lot. I do at least 1 to 2 about Savannah or about this case every night. And they're not all heavy. They're a lot just to get to know her or something about Nancy. So anyway, those are out there. But basically in this interview, Hoda asks her, she says, what happened? And she goes into all this detail. And again, I am going to attribute that to that Savannah is a storyteller and Savannah is a professional media person. You know, Savannah knows how to communicate. And so she goes into this huge explanation. She says, back at Christmas, I gave my husband a tennis trip. So I guess I need to look her husband up. I want to see what level he is. Curious as to if we would ever intersect in the tennis realm. Anyway, she says that he went on this tennis trip that she gave him for Christmas, and that she had taken the kids and they were all together. And then they all kind of came back together at the same time. She doesn't say what time it is on Sunday evening, but she says that evening or words to that effect, that evening. So we don't know whether it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock. My impression was it was something in the neighborhood of, you know, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, something like that. Eastern. And that's important too, right? Because everything that happened to Nancy is on Mountain. So just to give you these time frames, because it's good to kind of rehash this. I wish I had my graphic up, but now I'm afraid to go down and get it. At 11:56 was when family, meaning Tommaso, who, by the way, throughout that interview, she called Tommy. So they don't call him Tommaso. He goes by Tommy. I mean, his legal name is Tommaso, but he goes by Tommy. You can tell throughout this, her love, familiarity, respect, appreciation, all the words you can put toward Tommy Cioni. You can see it. It's very much there. And she talks about it. But anyway, she says that she comes home and they're all together and she gets a call from Annie, her sister. Now, just in case you don't know this, depending on how closely you followed this case, Annie and Tommaso lived only, I think it's 4 miles, 10-minute drive away from Nancy Guthrie, from their mother and mother-in-law. They were the caretakers of her. Savannah goes into this, how she allows them to be, she is so appreciative because she's across the country in New York, and she's so appreciative to Annie and Tommy, as she calls him, because as you guys all know this, without them, she doesn't get to stay in her house that she's lived in for since 1975 when she bought it for $89,000. She doesn't get to live there. I guess she could if she hired a caretaker or something, but they're assuming that role. They're assuming the role. Savannah goes into that most days she couldn't even walk to the mailbox because of her severe back pain and her issues with walking. And the pain was, I guess, just writhing pain that she was in. And she wasn't capable of that. And so you can imagine that Tommy, as she refers to him, and Annie, they provide this huge role in terms of caring for her. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. And again, I'm doing the points. There's several points that people are making loud and proud in mainstream media and social media about this notification to Savannah. And She's relying on them, right? She doesn't even think about it. She knows Annie and Tommy are taking care of her mom, making sure she has her needs met. They are the go-to. And that Sunday evenings, they have dinner, all these other things, okay? For those of you who remember the Gene Hackman case, horrible situation, worth millions. I think he was worth $60 million or something like that. It was a huge amount. $60 million sticks in my mind. I could be wrong. His wife died of hantavirus, guys. That is from rats, rat feces and rats. And that house, and I posted a few, but mostly I always just posted the beautiful pictures for when they purchased it initially. Just imagine a house in complete ill repair, like a hoarder house with rats and everything. That was the environment they were living in, because in that situation, those parents were estranged from their children. So there was nobody to watch over them, nobody to care, take for them. Yes, should they have used some of their millions to pay for an everyday caretaker, somebody to come in, take care of their house, clean. They had caretakers for outdoors. It was the indoors that was the problem. They didn't feel they needed it. You know, for those of you who have old people, it's, you know, your mothers and fathers, and I have these still, even though the parents that raised me have passed away, I have my biologicals. And even though my dad is a absolute hilarious terror running around in Puerto Rico, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, my biological mother, who is very much older, they are very set in their ways, her and her husband, and they're doing just fine. But guess who is right there to take care of them? My brother. One of my brothers is right there, right around the corner to take care of them. They have dinners together. They check on them. They live now, you know, they've had houses their whole lives. They just sold their last house and they're renting a house so that they don't have, which we love. They've been in a retirement community. They were in an old folks type community. In other words, like really, I don't want to say old folks home because now they're really communities. They were in two of those. They hated it. They wanted to be back in there with a house with bedrooms and land and, you know, so that's what they did. And my brother is watching over them because they want to have their own things. I picture that kind of being like this situation with Nancy. And Savannah talks about how that house was so much more than a house, everyone. That house was memories of their father who had passed away when Savannah was so small. Savannah lived in that house since she was 4 years old. So her only real memories are that house. And her mom wants to stay in that house. I just know people in the audience understand this. Either you have grandparents, parents that feel exactly this way. I'm telling you, I'm going to be this way. I do not want an old folks home. I'm going to be in my house until I die. That's where it's going to be. And I'm going to get care. I've already told my kids that if I start losing it and I don't realize how bad my house is, please let me know early so I can get housekeepers and people set up to come in and make sure everything is okay, right? All of us, none of us want to leave our mothers in a lurch. And she wasn't. She was cared for by them in a house that she loved and was familiar with. So let me get back to this initial point, though, now that I've driven this part of the point home, probably too hard. People are actually saying that they think it's weird that Annie didn't call Savannah until, and think it through the time, I'm believing it's somewhere around 2 or 3 mountain time, which would have been around 4 or 5 Eastern time. Again, she doesn't give the exact time, but she says, you know, everybody came back from their trips in the evening. We don't know the time. That's just what I believe. I know it couldn't have been too late because she gets on a plane and she goes out there. So it's not like you can just snap your fingers, although she could if she got a private plane. Maybe she did get a private plane. She could have done that, so I shouldn't take that off the table. We don't know whether she commuted by private plane or public transportation. But nevertheless, she immediately heads over there. But she gets this call, and the call comes in, and Annie says, "Mom's gone." And like any of us would say, "What do you mean mom's gone?" Mom is gone. They can't find her. So Savannah says, she tells her, call 911. Annie says, "I did call 911. They're here. The police are here. We can't find her." "Well, call the hospitals." "We've called all the hospitals." Because initially they thought that perhaps she had had a medical event, because she had a lot of medical issues, and that she had called an ambulance and just didn't call the family to let the family know. These are all, by the way, this is so normal. No one makes the leap that that your parent has been kidnapped and murdered or something like that, something horrible. You never make this leap initially. Why would you? So she's getting the call on the phone, and everybody seems upset or trying to spin that's weird that Annie didn't call earlier. I can tell you from someone, and I know you guys know this, when you are the caretaker, you know, in other words, when you're the sibling that's sort of in charge of the parent, and I haven't had to be that yet, haven't had that. But when you are, I did have when Puerto Rico got hit by Maria, my dad did live with us for probably 6 months. And so I wasn't a caretaker. My dad is out running and doing his thing. He's in his 80s, but he's hilarious. But if something happened to my dad, I could tell you the last thing I would be doing in my first couple hours are calling all my siblings. First of all, I have way too many siblings to even call like that. But yes, at some point I would reach out to them. But they're trying to make this nexus that because she didn't reach out, this is suspicious, because she didn't do it right away. And it's suspicious, that Savannah wouldn't have been called in case she knew something about where her mom would be. I have no idea with my biological mom, who I'm close to, who lives far away, but next to my brother, near my brother. I have no idea exactly what she does every day. I know generally. I know she loves to play cards. I know that she loves to write. So she's got a little writing group. I know she loves to go exercise. She talks about that. You know, she's got her little exercise group where she hangs. She literally like hangs from a bar. Actually, when I went there, she actually did this yoga pose that there's no way somebody in their 80s should be able to do. She's cracking me up. But nevertheless, I do not know right now what my mom is doing. And I don't think my brother that even lives close to her knows. But I know that if she missed something that she went to, and again, she's married, so her husband's there too. But if they missed something and something happened, I know what my brother would do. He'd do what I would do. I would first try to check with neighbors, try to check with, I'd call 911 for sure, because in this situation, it's a little bit different, right? There are clues that are there. They get there, and the two back doors, and I'm going to show you some pictures here. The two back doors are propped up, and this door is propped, made to be kept open. And this door is open. They're open. That's what they said. Doors open. Propped open. That's a clue. So if I'm the caretaker, I'm Annie. I go to the house and I like, my God, who propped these doors open? My mom wouldn't do that. She doesn't want javelinas in her house. There's major wildlife out there. My mom didn't do this. And then I see blood on the front stoop. I'm not calling Savannah. I'm not calling Cameron. I'm calling 911. And that's what she does. This is so normal. Because it's not like she's missing. It's like something has happened because there's clues that something has happened. Likely more clues than just that interiorly. You know, signs of a disturbance. I hate to even quote Sheriff Nanos after what has been going on recently. But he even says there were signs inside, right? So he got his homicide detectors on. So people, and I'm just through point one. Oh my gosh, I've got to hustle this along. People who say, who are on their saying, who are on shows, who are, I'm just like, wow, you do not have an elderly person and you've never had a case involving the elderly. That's what I'm looking at. And then I'm going back and look at people's backgrounds. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me because they don't know. In my opinion, they did nothing out of the ordinary. She was reactive to the scene, calling 911. And the other thing that I think she did, meaning Annie and Tommy, oops, sorry, is they called my, that was Simba, by the way. Simba knocked my shelf that I have my computer on and it bleeped off. But they called hospitals, everyone. You know, they called the hospitals to say, has she been there? Has she been reported? Has anybody ever done that? I'm sure you have. I've done it, obviously, many times as an FBI agent, but then also I've done it just personally. And mostly because, and I think everybody can relate to this, if you've ever had a child before you begin tracking them, and then you learn the beauty of tracking, that is supposed to be home at midnight and it's 1 o'clock and they're not home and you start worrying and you're worrying and you're calling their friends and you're doing this and then you call a hospital or two. I've done that. I raised my hand to that. That is the normal stuff. But this case again wasn't quite normal because now you've got blood, now you've got doors open. So you have Annie properly calling 911. Sorry, Karen Cardwell, and thank you so much, Karen. I appreciate this. There are two doors under the porch covering. One goes into the living room and one into the kitchen. So I've got this door. I thought this one went into the living room. And then this door, which I believe goes into the garage. I think you're right, though. I think there might be one down here. Nevertheless, I'll try to get those that photographic proof. And I know a lot of people have the schematic. I actually have the schematic and I need to put it up to show where everything is. I need to download that and put that up here because now these doors are becoming way more important because now we know they're propped open. So anyway, next time I'm on and we discuss this, I will have a picture of the entirety there. And then I'll also have schematics for everybody. But nevertheless, this is all to say, I don't think anything done was weird. By the way, the call to 911 went in at 12:03. That's actually pretty early if you show up at 11:56. But again, doors are open, blood on the stoop, mom isn't around, mom can't walk, call 911. Perfect call there. So that's at 12. Calling and then panicking, calling around to hospitals, trying to figure out what happened. Is your number one call going to be to Cameron and Savannah, who have nothing to do with their, you know, caretaking of her? No, just it wouldn't be for me. When my dad was here from Puerto Rico for 6 months, if something happened, he slipped and fell and something, whatever, I'm not calling them. At some point, I'm calling them. But I would be aware of their interactions on a daily basis. My brother is never going to call me, he'll probably call me within the first, I don't know, by the evening if something happens in the day, I would know. certainly by the next day, I would know something. I'm not talking about something like this. If there were blood and it looked like a kidnapping, I would hear, obviously, by that night. But no, that caretaker knows that Nancy Guthrie isn't talking on that, talking to Savannah every second of every day. She knows how often they communicate. So she calls her, I think, probably by about 2 o'clock with all that she had going on. The other thing is, and I will say this, you never want to make that call and it's nothing. You never want to make that call and, you know, mom decided not to go to the church. Instead, she went someplace else and slipped and fell and whatever. You never want to make the call to the sibling or loved one that's across the country and blow up something that ends up being nothing. You want to make sure you really have a situation. And I just don't think she waited that long, and I don't think it's that weird. There's a lot of people saying it's weird, and I don't even know what they're trying to say by that. Well, actually, at the end, some of them are just saying they think the family's involved because of these things I'm going to list. And I just like it's some conspiracy. Savannah's in on it because she didn't get the call till later, or she's lying about that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with it, but I thought it was very important to talk about all this nonsense. Okay, sorry.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
All right. The second point some people are making, and this is in various forums, not just one. Some people are making this leap. Savannah says in her interview with Hoda that they knew it was a kidnapping early. In other words, when they were all there. So now a lot of time has passed, right? Because she's gotten the call. Savannah's made arrangements. Can you imagine when you have two kids, for those of you with kids, younger kids, arrangements have to be made for them because no longer, even though you work for NBC in the morning show, you're likely there all afternoon and evenings, right? Your morning show responsibilities are not like a 10-hour gig. And just everything you have lined up. Oh, I need to take him to piano lessons. I need to do this. I need to do that. I was supposed to have dinner with these people. I was supposed to do this. On the Today Show, I was supposed to do this. I'm supposed to go to the Olympics. How about that? All these things that now Savannah Guthrie has totally just said, my life is stopping and I'm flying directly right now to Arizona to figure out what in the heck is going on with my mother. Somebody like her has a lot to coordinate to make all that happen ASAP. And she does it ASAP. Nobody's really talking about that. Everything she did, how about just the Olympics? Hey, I can't go right now. My mother, I don't know what's going on. NBC, I'm so sorry, I can't go. Husband, I know we made these arrangements, but now I can't do this, blah, 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 blah. So she heads out there immediately. Perfect reaction, normal reaction. You know, I think oftentimes we judge from what we would do. I'm even talking about this and referencing for all of you and for me to think about what we would do. And maybe we have similar life circumstances in my situation. I have similar life circumstances. I guarantee you, if I look in chat here, many of you have life circumstances that are similar to this. And you can relate exactly to what I'm saying. So essentially everybody gets there. Savannah's there, Cameron's there, the family's there. She talks about, and I've said, this is a nightmare. And the fact that this is out, defense attorneys are going to eat up, but they're going to eat up everything about the crime scene anyway. Everybody was there. Like, people are there. They're milling around. There's authorities there. You know, all these people are there. Ruining the crime scene, by the way. Ruining it. Because now, we saw this in Brian Koberger, the Idaho 4. Do you remember how one of the boyfriends, Jack, was at the house? I believe it was Jack. No, well, I'm not sure. Don't hold me to it. But basically, there was a knife that was on the counter in the Idaho case at 1122 King Road. He was in there. Remember, it wasn't Jack. So sorry. I think it was Ethan's brother. It doesn't matter. A kid that was in there, because again, these kids were in this house, lots of different kids. He moved the knife. He moved a knife. I don't know if you guys remember this. And I remember thinking, oh God, he moved the knife. And then they tried to move it back, you know, because he's telling, I've seen the body-worn camera footage. He's telling police, oh, you know, something like, oh yeah, I got this knife. And the police are like, ah, put the knife down. When people are in a crime scene, it's so much more than the fact that they're trampling through it. And Lockhart's theory, they're bringing in parts of themselves, hairs from their dog, hairs from their child, like with Rex Heuermann. By the way, last night I posted that Rex is supposed to plead guilty, which is great. I posted on that last night. Not this morning, though, but I wanted to touch on that. Nevertheless, all these people are in here touching, disturbing, picking things up. I guarantee they are. I mean, they picked up a shirt from her for CBP, the dogs, and then threw it in a bush. Didn't even put it back. I mean, I just can't imagine. I can just see them going through her clothes and touching the bed and going like this. And, you know, everything that people do, it's bad enough because, of course, Annie and Tommy, because they would have been the first, they were the family that went there. They would have been doing that. Like, what's going on? And I think I'm going to talk more about this, but back to this, the fact that by this point, everything law enforcement is saying, supposedly homicide called somebody out that evening. I mean, Nano says he had homicide detectives out there that evening. So all of this is happening out there that evening. And the brother, Cameron, believes it's a kidnap for ransom. And she talks about that. We thought it was a kidnap for ransom. And people are like, I don't know why they're saying this, but how could anybody know it'd be a kidnap for ransom? Okay. A, she's gone. So there's clue number one. She's gone, which is not like her. There's nothing like her. Her victimology is completely off. Her chances of being a victim in this situation are statistically, literally, like probably 0.0001. In this house, well, we don't know if it was locked for sure, but in the house that she's lived in since 1975, the way the house is situated back off, her health issues, her age, her chances of being a victim, I shouldn't just throw out that statistic. I'm kind of doing that flippantly, but it's so low. She, on the victimology range, so the highest end of victimology range is drug user who is also a prostitute, who is dealing with strangers every day in dangerous situations. You know, that's a high victimology that something bad is going to happen to that victim. Low victimology is an 80-year-old in their house for 50 years that they've gone to sleep in every night, locked up, the front door gate, all of this, that on an estate in the black dark of night, meaning no light pollution was allowed. So you would have to actually know to go there. You can't just stumble upon this house. All of that, folks, you add the blood that dripped. And I actually have this footage where the blood actually trickled clear to the driveway. And let me look at these really quick. Karen, thank you. It would not be a leap for any normal person to assume kidnapping. Yes, yes, yes. Karen, I agree. And we're going to talk even more about that. But yes, that's exactly. I agree with you, Karen. And thank you. And Kiki also is coming up. Let me, Kiki says, and thank you again, Kiki, for that donation. Poor Savannah, she has to be tasked with the responsibility to report the details that were fed to her. She was not there, so many unknowns, trusting details that she was told. All reporters read scripts. Yeah, you know, such great points. I'm going to keep that up there. Such great points. And this is back to what I'm saying about this kidnapping. High dollar area. Everybody says that these Savannah and Nancy were very well known. They were very well known. People knew she was famous, especially there in Tucson. And so that combined with, so we've got the house situation, we've got the victimology, we've got the blood. She's not there. Other things that they know, for instance, probably Annie knew the pajamas she wears at night and notices they are missing. That is something a caretaker would know. Shoes, likely she would know that because I guarantee as a caretaker, you would know mom has 8 pairs of shoes and oh my God, they're all there. I'm going to show this picture because I think it's very critically important to understand Nancy Guthrie. If you saw this segment, she is teaching how to perfectly make a bed. I've joked about this, that that's how my mom was, the one who raised me. And so I never make my bed now. But anyway, she's a perfectionist. I think she was a person, I'm picturing this anyway, from everything I've seen. Her house was in order. Her clothing is in order. Her hair is in order. She is a person who takes great pride in how her house and how she presents. I think that's pretty obvious when we see her. So I have no doubt that she had everything in order, her shoes and everything. That's what I believe. Everybody's making a big deal about that too. Oh, how would they know? Is there camera footage? Blah, blah, blah. Annie knows. Annie knows. Plus, we don't know what all was mentioned in those first two ransom notes that now we know that at least law enforcement and Savannah Guthrie, because Savannah Guthrie believes they're real, because law enforcement believes they're real, because they have all these details. And I wouldn't doubt that there's details in that note possibly related to what she was wearing. Maybe not, but I don't even think you need those details. You would know that as a caretaker and somebody who seems to me to be fastidious. By all accounts, Nancy Guthrie is fastidious. And I mean that in the best of ways. She's organized. She makes her bed every day. She cares how things look. She has things in order. There's a place for things and things are in its place. And Annie knows all about this. Annie's put her to bed at night before. Annie's been there in the morning to have coffee with her or whatever. Annie knows what shoes she has. They're probably all lined up in a row. And Annie knows her nightie's gone and there aren't any shoes gone. So I don't know why this is some huge epiphany that all of a sudden makes the family look like they're lying. Because that's what some of these people are saying. All right, number three. Oh yeah, that is number three. Oh, perfect. I was able to go ahead and comment already on number three, because number three was about the shoes, no shoes, the video, and all of that. That's how they know. And again, this is speaking from experience, from cases and life experience combined. Going to homes like this with people exactly like this professionally, and then also knowing people like this. You know, as I said, and I know many of you can relate, I'm not where my mom is, my biological mom and her husband, who I consider like a dad, Papa, I call him. I'm not there. But my brother has done work, you know, put up pictures. He does all this stuff. He's over there. Does he know exactly how many shoes she has? Probably not, because she's not in ill health. She's as healthy as can be. She's leaping all around like a little yoga person. But that wasn't the case with with Nancy. She struggled. She had a serious back issue. So imagine the pain of putting shoes on, bending over to put shoes on. What a struggle that would be for her. Remember, she said she could barely make it to the mailbox, and she actually didn't go to the mailbox except sometimes. That's the furthest she could go, she said. So anyway, I just want to drive home the point. 1, 2, 3. 1, not weird to call a couple hours later. Remember the time change. 2, not weird to think somebody could be kidnapped when you have money, when you live in an estate, when you are the mother of Savannah Guthrie, who has millions, when you are, there's blood, when you're missing, and the back doors are propped open, people. This is just something I would think. You don't think it at first. It's kind of like with the, Dylan Mortensen. She's not going to have any thought process that some maniac, homicidal, sadistic, sexual predator. Yes, I do think that was the underlying motive. That's another case. That they just killed all your friends. It's like, no, none of us would think that. This, until you see everything, right? Until you see the blood, until you see obviously them, it's a little bit different because the bodies were there. But in this case, they had enough facts that any logical person, and how I see Cameron is much less emotional, right? He's the logical one. He's military. He was a fighter pilot. He's much more oriented to a factual summation and being able to come to it. Probably the best of the people that were there that were family. And I only base that on his background and experience and things he had seen in his life experience and in his professional experience and in his military experience. So I don't find any of that odd. And then the whole thing about the shoes and pajamas, I think that would have been known by Annie. All right, number four. I only have five because I know we've gone long. About the notes not being hoaxes and talking about plural versus singular. I don't really understand how that is odd or weird at all. Is it speaking to that law enforcement thinks there's only one person? Look, I think they're discussing the one person theory because what they have to work with right now, let me put this up because every day this should be up. What they have to work with now is this one person. This they know for sure. They know this for sure. I really think it's two people or more. I've said that from the beginning. To abduct somebody is not typically, from my experience, a one-person job. I just don't think he pulled up, left his car right out in front there. Maybe he did. Left his car right out in front there. Pulled down this camera, went to the back, opened the doors, propped him open. No, more people involved. All that tells you more people involved. And that handy talkie in the back was when I first really thought that. Come around. The doors are open in the back. Some people say, well, there's no way there's more than one person involved, because when you look at what Mark Twain says, the only way two people can keep a secret is if one of them's dead. And I do agree with Mark Twain on that. But this is a criminal action where if there's more than one involved, they're all going to be culpable to the same degree. Does everybody know? I don't know if you know this. If you rob a bank, say you and three people rob a bank, another thing you very seldom is done solely by yourself. Note jobs, yes, but I'm talking about a bank takeover. You got a getaway driver, you got somebody to keep the people at bay, usually one other person to grab the money and another person handling the tellers. Nevertheless, did you know, if you go in there to do a robbery and you accidentally, say the one that was watching the teller, we're going to work with four people here, accidentally in panic or otherwise, because these idiots never know how to handle guns, accidentally kills a teller and the teller ends up dead. How many of you think that the driver of the getaway car, who wasn't even inside, can be charged with that capital murder? They can, and they're going to be, because they are an equal co-conspirator. In other words, the crime could not have happened without the getaway guy. So without the getaway guy, you can have no crime. Without everybody doing their part, that woman would be alive. So yes, charged. I'm glad to see that, Dogs Discussions. You're getting charged with that. So all of these people, if there was more than one, I just personally think there was at least two. If there was more than one, they're all getting charged equally with this. And if Nancy's not alive, this is a capital murder, death penalty. So they have a lot on the line because they all know it. You know, people say, how come people haven't come forward on Porch Guy? Well, I've talked about those reasons. One, some people might not even know that people are looking for him because, again, his face isn't everywhere. Number two, if they do know, they just might not be able to believe, you know, like, gosh, geez, that looks like Uncle Carlos. But nah, that wasn't him. And then number three is fear. I know it's him, but I'm not saying anything. And number four is love. How this case could be solved is the scorned lover that Porch Guy pisses off. That happens all the time. I can't even tell you how often. That's what you're waiting for, is the scorned lover in this one. All right. Number five. Oh my God. This is another thing. Just drives me crazy. People are upset that Savannah came forward, everyone. So many people are upset that Savannah came forward, and they're making a lot out of it. Ooh, why did she do it? You know, it's part of this conspiracy that it hurt the case. How did it hurt the case? I'm going to tell you right now, what she did was help the case 1,000%. Why do I say that? Because back to Sebastian Rogers, she is putting the media focus on this case. I want you to look at the media coverage on this case before she spoke and the media coverage after. Look at the channels on social media. Look at NBC, ABC, CBS, all the main networks. Look at the cable, News Nation, the best one, News Nation, but Fox, CNN. Look at the written forms of communication, Newsweek, Yahoo, the Daily Mail. This is back front and center. You'd think it was day one because Savannah came out. Savannah knew that. Savannah, right before she did the interview, had come out and done an Instagram message. Postings. Because she could see, not that the case is cold, because remember, there's a big difference between a case being cold and a case not having direction. I agree with everybody about the case not having direction, but this thing is the furthest thing from cold there can be. 30,000 leads, I'm like, oh, that just gives me heebie-jeebies. I don't know how you ever get through that. I mean, they'll get through it, but case isn't cold, case doesn't have direction, and that was crystal clear. So one of the points that was made, again, very negatively, is that this hurt the case, that what she did hurt the case. This did not hurt the case for the reasons I just explained. And furthermore, the details she gave about the pajamas, a lot of these details you don't want to give out, because then when somebody comes forward, it says something like this. I know who did it. I saw this old lady and she had pajamas on and no shoes. Well, now you're kind of hosed when you're on the complaint desk, because you're like, oh gosh, do they know that? Because Savannah just told millions and millions and millions of people that? Or do they not know that because they actually know something about the case? So while I agree with my fellow pundits who will say that some of these details, it's not good for them to come out for the reason I just named right there, or even that the two ransom notes are, they believe, legitimate. Well, agree on that. I think Savannah did it. You ready for this? I need to put this out here on Twitter too. I think the reason that Savannah did this was because she's a little pissed. Doesn't come out there because she's so highly emotional about this whole thing, which she should be. And thank you. Thank you, Rooster. I just love that name, Rooster. Thank you for joining our channel. Thank you so much. I think she's pissed. She's pissed that day 56, I believe, there's no answers. We're going on to 2 months, no answers. And she kind of says that. Remember, she says, law enforcement's been working hard and we appreciate it. And that's very heartfelt, I think she was. Law enforcement is working hard. They're dedicated. They care. She says that in a very heartfelt way, but then she gets a sober look on her face, says, still have no answers. And her whole tone of voice, her whole facial expression changes. And the change I picked up on personally, and that's why, listen, I sent these out like that. I didn't even comment about the comments, which I normally do, because without sending these out, everybody can look and make their own assessments, right? You can look and see. And I think that's really important to give everybody the canvas in case they want to see the whole canvas. And or if a pundit says something, they can look back themselves easily. I just put them up there so you can easy just click on them right away before I did anything, before I even talked about them. But I think she's pissed. That is what I think. I think this was a bit of a, I don't want to call it a slap in the face, but a wake up. Where's the answers? I'm going to go out there and plead. I'm going to stir things up. I do think too, before she went on the morning show, it was important for her to have this cathartic moment. I don't know how in the world you join the morning show and go, "Hi, everyone. Does everybody have their coffee? Oh, we have a funny story this morning to start the day off with." You know, whatever they talk about, you know, off of that. I just don't know how exactly you make that transition, but she's going to have to make it. And I think this show was important to making that transition. So I think this show had a lot of purposes. The purposes of the show. Number one, get attention on her case. Number two, I need to have a transition point before I go back on the show like nothing happened. Because, and they're not going to exactly be able to do that. I don't know how you do it right now. But she's a professional. And she'll may find a way. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. Because it's not like she has a job where she's a banker, you know, or an attorney that is, you know, behind the scenes working, filing things. She's somebody that has to put on a beautiful face when she goes on TV. She has to smile. She has to look beautiful. She has to cheer everyone up. No one wants to watch the morning show morning after morning after morning with somebody depressed, somebody talking about this situation. They want to talk about all the things that they normally talk about, the best places to travel and, you know, the best souffle recipes and, you know, a new gourmet coffee that just came out and, you know, a human interest story and this is what's going on with politics. Like, they are supposed to bring the news in a very familiar and in your living room type of space, a very sweet. And that's why she did so well, because they come off like that. Like a Julie Grant would be so perfect at a job like that. Because she comes off as warm and inviting and you want to listen to her and she's cute and sweet and she's real. Savannah Guthrie comes off very real, in my opinion. And then the third reason, I think, was an absolute vote of no confidence for this investigation. It's funny because Hoda said something and Savannah sort of snapped, not snapped in a mean way, but just in a quick retort way. The investigation is still ongoing. You'll have to watch that part because she wants to make it clear to everybody the investigation is ongoing. It's not cold. There's things being done, but she has no answers. So anyway, I think that pretty much wraps up everything. About the situation. I don't believe in all these people trying to somehow spin that what she said means that her family's involved in this. I don't get that. I feel bad for the Guthrie family. I feel bad for Savannah, Annie, Tommaso, Cameron. I feel terrible for them because they have no answers, because Nancy, no one knows where Nancy is, and no one knows who did this to Nancy. There is somebody, by the way, that did a great poster of Porch Guy, his face, Porch Guy, his body in Spanish. I'm going to be posting that on Twitter. I need to make sure the mods have it so they can post it up here on screen. Because even if we can't do billboards, you know, even if the lovely sheriff, and really, I can't even blame it on the sheriff. I slightly blame it on him, but I mostly blame it on the fraudsters. You know, I don't have a GoFundMe, never had a GoFundMe. Yes, was going to have a GoFundMe if for some reason we couldn't get it paid for. But actually I pivoted from that and thought, because Joel recommended this, we should do a show that all proceeds from my show and his show on the show go directly to putting up a billboard. I thought that would be a good idea. But I just looked last night and there are three GoFundMes up. You know, one is something like, well, we'll give it to the family afterwards. They're going to need it. And I was like, oh my God, these fraudsters, I can't believe it. And then of course the people we know that committed fraud that took what I said, cut and pasted it as their gross plan to defraud. Anyway, the bottom line is that I've got that poster and I want to at least get that on social media at this point. So that will be good. All right, everyone. I think we beat this up enough. I want to thank you all for being here so much. I can't thank you enough for tuning in. And until next time, everyone, may justice be served for Nancy Guthrie and for all the missing.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.